What's happening, people? Pete Davidson here with the Rotobahn Podcast. It's a Saturday, so we're talking DFS. At the Clash, bringing us in there with Train in Vain. Hopefully you guys will stand by your man one more week. I definitely got on the Train in Vain last week with Darwin Thompson as my conductor. Led me right into the fucking abyss. And I bought it hard last week. I think 80% losses in terms of the money I put in play. One of the worst weeks I've had, gosh, I think I had one week last year as bad as week three. And really, it was a couple bad decisions. You guys may have done really well if you used my stuff, because if you stayed away from just two or three key mistakes, Darwin Thompson being the lead one, you probably did just fine. I got a little bit too cocky, maybe a little bit too greedy. I knew what I was doing. So, you know, and it's funny, I said, you know, look for me in the bar after today. This might blow up in my face. And it most certainly did. And of course, as I mentioned on the waiver wire, the irony is one of my favorite players who I've been like screaming about till I'm blue in the face, Darrell Williams, who I've been saying no one's talking about this guy. And it's, you know, and this is something, it's funny. I'm just going to go on like a 30 second tangent here. But this is something that happens to me, maybe more than anybody else, which is I'm right about a player. And I was right about Darrell Williams. I'm sorry, I was. I love this guy, and he's a good player. He's from LSU. People are sitting there talking about it. He's got a three-down skill set. Look at that. No fucking shit. We've known this for, you know, a while now. And, you know, I don't regret what I've done here, because if you're going to sit there and take your evals over the evals of coaching staffs, you're just begging for trouble, and you're being an obstinate idiot, you know? But it is frustrating when you were right, sort of right all along on some level. And you know what? Maybe I wasn't really right all along. Ultimately, maybe Darwin Thompson is the better player in this situation. But you know, my point all along is that, man, don't write off Darrell Williams. This guy's a good football player, and I think a lot of people realize that now. Okay, rant's over. Sorry about that, y'all. So anyway, I bought it hard last week, and I'm getting right back on the Train in Vain. and, you know, we're going to go at this thing one more time. I mean, listen, this is part of the agony with DFS, but it's part of the fun, too. I mean, I made a decision. I went with it. And it's funny. I was drinking at the end of the day, I won't lie, but it wasn't bad. It was like, yeah, dude, you're an idiot. This is the way it goes sometimes. And you know what? Look, the other side of the coin is this. You have to be in it to win it sometimes. I really liked the lineups I was putting together, especially in GPPs. I needed that low-cost running back to get me to where I wanted to be. And it led me right into the Bears trap. And that happens that way sometimes. But you know what? There's plenty of other times where I didn't take that player and he goes off and I'm upset for the different reason, you know, which leads us back to the thing I was talking about last week when it comes to DFS, which is don't put money out there that you can't afford to lose. And that's why I wasn't a wreck at the end of the day last week, because you know what? It was money I could afford to lose. I had money. I didn't put out money that, you know, that really would have led me to stress if I had had a bad day. So hopefully you guys are sort of following me, not just on recommendations, but also on an approach that doesn't get us into trouble. DFS is so much fun. I love it. It's sort of like the last level for me. Like once I can really slay this, I have felt like I have beaten fantasy football on some level, but I haven't been able to do it yet. And that's what keeps me coming back. It's the challenge. It's the mountain. It's I want to scale this motherfucker. And hey, that's, you know, for me, that's where the fun is right now. And, you know, when you do get to those moments in the 4 o'clock games where you're chasing something, it's a lot of fun. And you have to work really hard to get there. So, you know, I'm coming back at it this week. I'm coming back hard. Hopefully you guys didn't follow me into the breach last week. Hopefully you all had, green at the end of the day, and you're looking to sort of lean in and build some momentum this week. So, I'm sure we're all coming from different places. But once again, I really encourage you guys to do this, to have fun with it, to get into it, to put your best lineups that you can make out there, but also do it in a responsible way. So you're not sweating bullets at some point. During the Sunday game. So today what I'm going to get into, I'm going to focus a little bit on my cash lineup since I screwed the pooch with it so much last week. And I'm also going to get into some of the GP plays I want and going to get you guys out of here quick today. I'm not really fully formed at this point. I'm going to spend another 5 hours today getting into this stuff. So I'm probably going to, you know, eliminate a couple of the ideas that I'm putting forth here. And I'm open-minded to the idea of maybe double podcasting this week, of maybe doing a 10-minute podcast after the show tomorrow, just to sort of firm up some of the things I'm talking about here. If any of you guys want that, let me know. It helps to know that people actually want a podcast. Like spending, you know, 40 minutes, you know, setting something up and editing it, and then, you know, having like a handful of people actually give a shit. I don't know. That can be a little bit defeating. So if you guys are into getting a Sunday pod in addition to this one, let me know. Because I think this is a week where it actually may make sense to do it, just based on where I'm at in my process. So having said that, let's take a look at the slate real quick, because this is a week where I've eliminated some games just because, you know, there's some players that I'm using from certain games, but the game as a whole is bad. So we're going to get through the slate quick. And then we're going to get to sort of my core group that I'm looking at, and we'll get you guys out the door. Now, Titans at Falcons. This game is sort of, I promise myself, I'm not going to just say interesting over and over and over again. Intriguing. It's compelling in that I don't want to run away from this game because there's more than one piece that I think is interesting. But the game itself has ugly potential. And, you know, Tennessee on turf, does that make it, you know, harder for them to control the speed of the game? You know, I really like the Falcons matchups, but I don't know if I like the Falcons. You know, I think Matt Ryan, the Matt Ryan Julio stack is cheap. You know, I mean, you don't get Julio Ryan together that cheap that often. So as I was talking to Jimmy yesterday in the WEEI pod, I think that's sort of a compelling play, but I think Julio by himself is probably more compelling for me, but I probably will if I can find. And again, I got a little beat up with my bankroll last week, so I don't know how free and easy I'm going to be with my, you know, throwing GPP stacks around. But if I can find the funds, I probably want to get a Matt Ryan Julio stack, just one of them. And also, I also think Ridley is a compelling play in that game. I think some people will be trying to jump on Hooper. I am not going to do that because the Titans handle tight ends pretty well. On the Titans side, obviously Delanie Walker is viable. And I think in GPPs, Derrick Henry is quite a nice play. I've heard people talking about him in cash. I just don't trust either one of these teams enough to be able to figure this game out in advance. And Henry can go the wrong way, you know, if the game isn't flowing right. So I don't like Henry in cash, but I do like him in GPPs. And I sort of feel like he's going to have a decent game this week. So it's like there's that dumb part of me is like sort of thinking cash, but I, you know, after last week, my cash standard has gone up a little bit. Moving over to Patriots Bills, I'm not on this game really in any way, shape or form. Best play out there in this game is probably Edelman. But I don't feel like I really don't want to take anybody against the Bills defense, to be honest with you. And this game shapes up to me as a game where the Patriots are going to win rather handily, but it's going to be ugly. So, you know, Edelman should scrap out a good game. Obviously, you want to attack this defense in the middle. So I think the reception numbers are going to be there for Edelman. But, you know, the Bills tackle well. They clean up what they miss real well. So, you know, this could be one of those 8-for-87 games for Edelman. You know, if that floats your boat, then hey, go for it. Next game is a game I'm interested in. The question is, how do we play it? You know, Kansas City at Detroit. Interesting game in that Detroit's a pass funnel, Kansas City's a passing attack we want to get involved in. So on its face, that looks good. Not, you know, moreover, KC doesn't really have their typical manpower for running the ball. You've got McCoy banged up early in the year. They don't want him to become a problem because, as I said on my now infamous Beach podcast, you know, McCoy, and this part I think I got right, you know, McCoy's an important player for them, but he is a role player, not in the sense that he's limited, but in the sense that part of what he does is very important when it comes to them winning games against good teams. And that's having somebody you can really depend on as an interior runner. Now, you know, Darrell Williams can sort of be that guy too, but he is a young player. He's not established. You know, we don't know what he's going to be as an inside runner on a consistent basis. You know, as much as I give Shady McCoy, you know, a hassle here and there because, you know, he's a little bit of a jack wagon, the guy's a really good runner. I mean, he can carry the rock. There's never been any problems with that when it comes to Shady McCoy. No. Is he a little too free with the rock, carrying it with one hand, doing stuff that annoys me? Yeah. But can this guy run between the tackles? Abso-freaking-lutely. And this is a good scheme to do it in. So McCoy's an important player for them. I don't think they're going to wear Shady McCoy out. And especially in a matchup like this, it just screams, throw the football. So, I mean, even when Kansas City gets up in this game and they want to just sort of sit there and end it, it probably would be Darrell Williams at that point, I would think. So how do we attack this game? Vegas has this one with KC over 30 by a smidge and the Lions 24 points. So this game goes over 50, a little bit skewed, obviously, to the road team. So you've got a road team favored in a game that's supposed to go over 50. That's sort of interesting. Now, Mahomes is definitely sort of on my list this week. I want to play Mahomes in cash and in GPPs. I love him as a play. Some of my lineup builds are making it tough to get to that $7,500 number. The interesting thing about Mahomes in GPPs is how do you stack? And I mean, there's a ton of guys you want to stack with, but the traditional stacking logic doesn't really apply. We stack because, well, if my quarterback goes off, this guy will go off. But with Mahomes, you've got Hardman, you've got DeMarcus, you've got Sammy Watkins, you've got Travis Kelce. So you could have two guys totally go off and your two stacking pieces could be sitting there, you know, barely, you know, not really doing much. I mean, they may pay off, but they're not going to help you win a GPP. I mean, I don't think any of these guys are just going to be duds. But, you know, if you play Mecole Hardman, you're looking for a touchdown at least and over 100 yards. Same thing if you play DeMarcus Robinson, you're looking for multiple scores. We're looking for the guys who are going to go off, not just have a decent day by seasonal standards. And it's going to be tough for all of them to do it. So as powerful as Mahomes is, as great as this offense is, you can be 100% right on Holmes, stack him wrong, and it could be a little bit of a problem for you. So there are a couple ways to do this. Now, I think the safe stacking piece is Kelce, but you pay for it. So this is, you know, this is an interesting one. The thing I'm sort of feeling is use probably Hardman as a stacking piece because he's affordable. And they're on turf, which I like. And then maybe go to the other side of the ball. Maybe, you know, if this game's going to go crazy, Detroit guys are going to have to go do well. And they are more tightly compacted in terms of target distribution. So, you know, playing Mahomes with an inexpensive piece that we like and then dipping into the other side here in that Vegas does have Detroit over 24. Detroit's usual approach of slowing the game down should be in the shitter by halftime, I would think. They're going to have to throw the ball or just decide they're going to not play football this week. We'll see how that breaks out, but I think getting into some of Detroit's core pieces makes sense. Galladay, I think, in particular, makes a lot of sense. I apologize to anybody who bought it with me on Hockenson last week, but, you know, this week is a week where we've seen Hockenson can have a big game. Now, we've seen that, you know, give him three games, he can have two duds to go with that great game, no doubt. But this is a week where they can't afford to just sit there and use him as a blocker or to be low with the pass volume or whatever the heck. They need to open it up this week. So I think Hockenson's going to be very much in play at that depressed cost, certainly in GPPs. Putting Hockenson and Galladay on the other side of a Mahomes stack is an interesting play. And Hockenson, again, absolutely risky. You make your own decision on this, but for me, it's another way to get Mahomes into my lineup. And, you know, maybe and not have to do Gallman if I don't want to do Gallman, which we're going to get to in a little bit. Oakland Colts. Yeah, this game really not fun. But on the Colts side, Marlon Mack at 6,100 units, definitely playable. Almost, almost like a must play for me. Although just early lineup construction, it's not easy getting him into my lineup with a lot of the other things I want to do. But I'm going to make sure I've got Marlon Mack in GPPs this week, and I'm trying hard to get him into my cash lineup. The rest of this game, I think Waller on the Raiders side is compelling. Although I'm not sure if I see a lot of upside. You know, I think Waller's going to catch a lot of balls. It might not be much beyond that, and it's not like he's cheap. Like, if Waller were at 4K, I would buy the volume in a lot of different ways. You know, at 5,200, which is, you know, off the top of my head where he's at. All right, you know, I got to know. I got to look it up. Where's Waller? I think I'm right at 5,200, but I didn't have that sitting right in front of me. Yeah, Waller's 5,200. So I don't know if he can pay off big in GPPs at that number. Certainly he would be in cash consideration at that number. But Waller, Mack, those are really the two guys I'm looking at. If I thought the Raiders were going to make a game out of it, my guy Paris Campbell would be in play. But I don't think they're going to really need to, you know, to go downfield or to try a whole lot. I mean, Campbell could still do it, but I don't think he's going to have the kind of volume predictably where I want to buy into it this week. So this is basically really just an ugly football game. I want to stay away from it other than Mack, maybe Waller. And then the Colts defense, I think, at 3,100 units is absolutely in play. All right, now this game, well, I want to talk about an interesting game. I said that word again, damn it. But, you know, really, it is. Chargers at Dolphins. Now, obviously, Chargers D and Eckler and the combination of Chargers D and Eckler very much in play. Cash, GPPs, fire that thing up as much as you want. My only problem with Eckler is I promised myself I wouldn't have tons of exposure to the same player this week. So I'm probably going to find some ways to not be too heavy on Eckler, but he will probably be my most owned player this week. Just looking really good. Now, the other thing is Mike Williams is out. Travis Benjamin's dinged up. Obviously, Hunter Henry's out. Virgil Green is even out. The Chargers are battered when it comes to targets. They don't even know where to throw the freaking football. So Eckler not only is going to carry the rock, he's going to catch the rock. We may see more of Melvin Gordon than we initially thought. Justin Jackson is out. Now, obviously, they don't want to play Gordon. They don't want to get him hurt. And this is a game they should be able to win with the JV squad. So Eckler, I'm thinking, excuse me, Ingram, Gordon will probably have some kind of role. But if this game, for some reason, were to get tight, were to get dicey for the Chargers, you know, who knows? Gordon may end up playing quite a bit, you know, if they're wearing out Eckler or what have you. But my inclination here is that Eckler is going to be the man. He's going to get a ton of touches. He could go over like 25 touches in this game. It would seem to me that the coaching staff wants to send him out in heroic fashion. So, you know, Austin Eckler having the huge game and winning this one for the team when they're down a lot of people just sort of seems right. And then on the other side, the other side of the offense, I think Keenan Allen is just... The only thing keeping him from 20 targets in this game is they may not need to throw the ball 20 times to win. He may end up getting sort of typical target volume, where this could have been a game where he only gets 6 or 7 targets and they're thrown to other guys in the second half. They don't have other guys. So what may have been a 5, 6, 7 target game is now maybe a 9, 10, 11, 12 target game, maybe a little more. It's a weird game because you've got one team that doesn't even really want to win. I mean, Miami's sort of tanking. So, you know, figuring out how this game's going to play out where one team doesn't have any players and the other team doesn't have any good players and doesn't want to win, it's weird. But for me, I'm not going to take Rivers, but I'm definitely taking Eckler, and I definitely want some exposure to Keenan Allen. I was really thinking about Keenan and cash, but the fact that the volume isn't completely locked in for a big major volume game, again, because of game flow, and because he's so expensive, he may not make my cash build. But it's not because I don't think he's a great play. On the Dolphins side, we can make arguments for a couple players, but I'm not going to. I don't want any Dolphins in my lineup this week. And now we go to the Giant game, which is a very compelling game. And really, I mean, it is compelling. you know, the one interesting thing about this whole Giants thing, it's, you know, as somebody who actually liked Daniel Jones, and if you guys go back and read the rookie rankings, you'll know, yeah, I thought Daniel Jones was pretty good. I avoided shouting it from the rooftops because I don't need that type of Twitter backlash. The irony is now that everybody thinks Daniel Jones is really good. Danny Dimes and all this stuff. I mean, look, let's get a grip, okay? Daniel Jones is a pretty solid quarterback prospect, and I hope he does well because I have to watch Giant games every week in the New York market. But this is a young quarterback who's got plenty of, you know, areas he's going to need to improve on. He's going to be without the support of Saquon Barkley. And, you know, he's very lucky that they've got a pretty easy home matchup this week. I'll probably maybe do one Daniel Jones GPP lineup, again, if I can find the funds. But I'm not playing him in cash. No way. I'm sorry. I need more information before I throw him into a cash game with limited resources. I mean, I think a good defense could take quite a bit away from the Giants. And if you could put pressure on this guy, you know, who knows? Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen this week. And this game really is compelling in that it could get out of hand if the Redskins can find a way to score. The Giants have, you know, pretty big problems in the secondary. So this game is compelling. And, I'm not really getting into it right now because I'm going to spend the rest of the day. This is one of the games I'm really going to break down and try to see if I can find some ways, you know, that I want to get involved. Obviously, I was very much on McLaurin, but he's a game-time decision now. He's probably going to play, but, you know, he might be a decoy. Obviously, anytime you have a hamstring injury midweek, unless it's something very minor, it's going to affect you. So McLaurin now is a little bit off the map, which, you know, could put Paul Richardson into play. He's one of the people I'm looking at in this game. I think on the Giants side, obviously Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, and then Gallman have a lot of attractive qualities, if you will. All of those guys are really in my window. And that's really it on this game. I think Richardson, McLaurin, Vernon Davis, and then on the Giants side, maybe Jones in GPPs, Gallman, Ingram, and Sterling Shepard. Those are the guys I'm looking at. Browns at Ravens. Obviously, I think Lamar Jackson's is a play. If you're trying to stack with him, Marquise Brown, I think, is probably the way to go. Andrews as well. The Browns secondary, they're hurt. I mean, they got so many guys injured. The guys who do manage to play are going to be playing hurt. So this is definitely a week, I think, to get in on some GPP action on the Ravens side. There's not a whole lot I see in this game. As far as cash, on the Brown side and GPPs, Beckham is certainly viable. And I think Chubb, I don't know. The Ravens are pretty darn good. Chubb maybe in GPPs, but I don't think he's going to catch enough passes. So Chubb maybe on FanDuel or something like that, probably not on DraftKings. Now, moving down to the Panthers and the Texans, this game's interesting. This, damn it, I did it again. I'm looking at this game. I think on the Carolina side, I'm really not buying into anybody individually. I don't really like Kyle Allen in this spot. I think people are overrating him, to be honest. Last week he was in a crazy good matchup. I don't think this is anything like that. What I do like about this game is that both teams are playing fast. There could be a lot of plays here. Stacking Watson with Will Fuller, I think, makes sense this week. This is definitely a game that I think, you know, Vegas might be a little bit light on this game. But Houston's really the side I want to get involved in here. The Watson stack, I think, is compelling. Fuller, and then you could add Stills as a low-cost option. But I think, I think the Watson-Fuller stack is the thing I want to do here. And not add a bunch of stuff to it. Just go with the thin stack. Fuller's cheap. Watson is not. Where is Watson? Let me just make sure I have this right. Deshaun's at 6,400, so nothing crazy there. And forward being cheap. So that definitely puts me in a place where I can do a lot of other different things. Now, moving down to the Rams and the Bucks, you know, on the Bucks side, they're really becoming sort of a pass funnel. And the Goff Cup stack is just screaming. It's just screaming. Again, I don't think I would add anything to it. I think I would just stack Goff with Cup. If I was going to add another player, it would be Woods. And then on the other side, I think O.J. Howard's a compelling GPP stack in this game. You just have to realize that you could be ruining your stack. You know, he's sort of a if you want to take a dice roll kind of move. Now, Seattle Cardinals. I'm really liking the Lockett play here and the Wilson to Lockett play because you really do throw to beat the Cardinals, although you can run on them too. But this is a week where I think Seattle wants to throw the football, oddly enough, and this game's going to be fast-paced. So even if they're leaning run, there's going to be more pass attempts, I think, than normal. And Lockett is just blinking green in this game. So I think I want to play Lockett, and I think in GPPs I may find a way to stack him with Wilson a couple times. And then that's really it for me. The rest of these games are just really not, you know, Bears, Vikings, Cook is in play, but I'm not going to play him. The Bears defense is in play, certainly. And then moving down to Jacksonville, I'm really not playing anything on the Jacksonville side. I don't like their matchups here. On the Denver side, you know, I think Philip Lindsay is in play. And if you wanted to get funky and throw like Cortland Sutton out there, if Jalen Ramsey sits because of the birth of his child, you could do something like that. But that's going to do it for the slate. Let's jump over to the plays that I'm really looking to make. And again, I'm going to be shaving this list down between now and tomorrow. So at QB, unless for some reason I decide I want to pay down somewhere, like again, I'm going to be looking at this Giant game a little bit more. If for some reason I decide to pay down and do some Daniel Jones, he could be a factor. I'm sort of messing around with the idea of Andy Dalton in a GPP, but for the most part, my emphasis is where it normally is, with the quarterbacks who run. You know, Watson is definitely in my sights, Lamar Jackson. Right now I've got Patrick Mahomes in my cash lineup. So those are really the guys I'm focused on. Jared Goff looks good to me this week. Matt Ryan, again, I think Kyler Murray is somebody I'm still looking at. I'm not really liking what I see that much this week, but I'm looking. And that's really where I'm at with the quarterbacks. Moving over to the running backs for cash consideration. Again, Mahomes right now is my cash quarterback. Not sure 100% if that's going to stick because I have had to make a couple compromises because he's obviously most expensive guy in the slate. I just really like what I can do with him at the top of my lineup. Again, for cash. Now, cash at running back, I think Gallman is very much in the conversation. I'm having trouble not going Gallman once I go Mahomes. Now, if I go off Mahomes, maybe I can go off Gallman. But Gallman and cash at 4,600 feels like he's going to pay off. My other two cash running backs are Eckler and Mack, with some consideration to Kerryon Johnson. The reason I'm not right now going carry on in cash, I'm definitely going to have some tournament exposure to him, is I'm just a little bit more concerned about game flow there. And again, in non-cash, Derrick Henry's very much on the map for me. Joe Mixon is a sleeper for me. Philip Lindsay at 5,200 in GPPs makes sense for me. Darrell Williams as a cost saver makes sense. If for some reason Rashad Penny does not play, I'm thinking about maybe getting a little bit of Rashad Penny in a C.J. Procise in a Russell Wilson stack. But again, that's in the scenario where Penny does not play. And that's sort of a thin kind of idea, but you know, all you need is one Carson fumble and you could really step into something there. Now, back over to the receivers. When it comes to cash this week, I am very much on the guys I've been talking about. Cooper Kupp, Lockett, Keenan Allen, I think is probably going to be one I can't afford, but I really wish I could. Kirk Cousins, Christian Kirk, excuse me, 5,100 units. I can't get him into the lineup I'm using right now, but I really like him for cash. Sterling Shepard, a little bit more expensive at 5,800, but I like him in cash. I feel like he's very safe. I think you could use Sterling Shepard and Evan Engram together in a cash lineup would not be the worst idea. You know you're going to get quite a bit between the two of them, and you can even throw Gallman in there. There's definitely a lot of ways we can go in cash. If you wanted to pay down and do a Jones Giants stack and then put some studs in there with them, it's certainly a way to go. For me, I'm trying to go with more guarantees. The one thing about my cash lineup right now that I don't love is Hockenson and Paul Richardson. Now, they're the very cheap parts of it. Richardson, I feel okay about. If McLaurin is out, I like this. If McLaurin is in, I may have to rethink it. Some quarterbacks that I like outside of cash: Galladay, I like a lot. Hollywood Brown, I like a lot. Julio Jones, I like a lot. Odell Beckham is somebody who's in consideration. Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman. Trey Quinn is someone I'm thinking about at 3K if McLaurin is out. And let's move over to tight end for a second. Evan Engram's really my tight end, the guy I want to play. He's my cash tight end if I can find a lineup that works well with him. I haven't been able to pull it off yet. Darren Waller, another one, I think more cash than GPP for me. Mark Andrews at 5K, he's healthy this week. I like him. Travis Kelce's in play, but 7,200, more of a GPP play for me. Will Disley, nice GPP play at 3,600. O.J. Howard in GPPs, Hockenson in GPPs, Vernon Davis at 3,400 with Reed out. Could be a viable play really anywhere. Anything else we want to hit here? Austin Hooper's a little bit of a fade for me this week because I think the matchup is sneaky hard. But that's really most of my core stuff. I'm just going through my notes here. Is there anything else we really want to hit? Dontrell Inman at 3K, I think, is somebody who might be able to help you in certain builds, in certain situations. Again, they're going to need to throw the ball to somebody. He's probably the third receiver in the pecking order this week. But we're over a half hour now, and that's most of what I've got right now. That's sort of where I'm at with my process. But again, I'm about to really firm up the lineup rankings. I'm about to work on my my start article for EEI. So I'm really going to get this stuff locked down over the next couple hours. And then I'm going to start cooking dinner, get some sleep, wake up, and get my ass in gear for tomorrow. Jim and I will definitely get into my lock plays in the show tomorrow. And I think that may be a way to avoid having to do another podcast. What I may do is just alert you guys to the posting of the show on WEEI, because what I really have to do here is really just a couple minutes, just sort of let you guys know really what I eliminated. So that's going to do it for the DFS pod. I hope you guys got a couple good ideas here. Once again, I strongly encourage you to put stuff in play that you can enjoy, whether it goes good or whether it goes bad. Again, DFS, you know, even in cash play, is a 50-50 shot. If you're playing tournaments, it's a lot of fun if you can put a good lineup together. But the bottom line is 80% of the people that get into this endeavor lose their money. So we need to understand that going in, that this is a game where it's like baseball. You know, good players are only successful 30% of the time. It's actually worse than that in GPPs, right? So go in with an attitude that we're sort of shooting for the moon, that we're trying to have some fun, and play money that you can afford to lose. I'm not saying be silly with it. Don't throw lineups out there that you think will lose or something silly. We want to do well, but let's be responsible and let's put the kind of money in action that we can afford to lose. That way we can have fun. We can sit there and if things go bad, we can laugh at ourselves instead of, you know, throw the lamp across the room and kick the dog. Anyway, that's it for me. Just a little helpful advice. Not trying to get all, parental on you. One thing when you do a podcast like this, you don't want to send out the message that, hey, this is the skeleton key. This is how you're going to make money and retire. We're doing our best here. I think the advice that you get on this podcast is good advice. It's informed. It's not half-baked. And when it is, I tell you guys. you know, I'm doing my best to, you know, to give you actionable information, but it's only good information if it's used responsibly. It's sort of like booze. Anyway, that's going to do it for the week 4 edition of the Rotomon DFS podcast. I'll be back tomorrow morning with Jim Hackett, as I said. And there will be an article coming out on EEI later today, probably tonight, where a lot of this stuff will be firmed up a little bit. So you can check that out too. So as always, thanks for listening. For those of you who are enjoying the podcast, please leave a rating. It helps quite a bit. Doesn't take much time. For those of you who hate the podcast, you're probably not listening. And again, if you have an extra minute, you know, leave a note saying why you like the podcast. That's appreciated as well. So thanks again, everybody. Go out, kick some ass this week, and we'll see you all Tuesday morning with the Waiver Wire.